praise God. Man. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. God is good. Amen. God is good. We should have those prayer cards by next service, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, we know that the plan of God will not come to pass in this earth, in this region without prayer. Doesn't matter how bad God wants it, how bad Jesus wants it, how bad your pastor wants it, how anointed your pastor may or may not be, what ministers have spoken over your pastor. It takes prayer from the people for the plan of God to come to pass. And so we've been praying around here, talking about prayer. And we want you to be involved in this because we need your help. And so I have a prayer card being printed up professionally that is going to have guidelines for praying for myself, because you need to be praying for me, which I'll probably teach on that maybe next week. But also, we'll see what the Holy Ghost says. If not, you would just get it on the card, and I'll just give you the South date and date that I preached on that. But also praying for the plan of God. You know, sometimes people say, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. You're not going to have an excuse now. Praise God. And we want you to be a blessing, because prayer makes power. Prayer makes power. No power, or no prayer, no power. No power, no going forward. And so, praise God. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for your word here tonight. Lord, help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to do what needs to be done. Father, as much as I know, I'm being obedient to the heavenly vision tonight and what you want me to share. Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. I will speak with utterance. I will speak with boldness. Father, I thank you the word will be glorified and have free course in this place, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God. Bullseyes will be hit. Help will be given. Impart unto us wisdom and revelation, insight, correction if need be, encouragement if need be. But Father, whatever you want done, may it be done tonight. And Lord, I thank you. They made the effort to come out. Lord, there's no doubt there's things to do on a nice day here in New York State in the summertime. Father, so much we could be doing. But Father, we're here. We're here to hear the word. So Father, I thank you. We came. We did part of it. We're hungry now. We thank you. We'll walk out of here filled. In Jesus' name, amen. But in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, I'll read down through a few verses. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. Aren't you glad for that verse? Man, that verse has changed my life. That verse has gotten me into some things. That verse has gotten me out of some things. I mean, we have that verse on the wall out there. I don't know if you noticed that little mural we have out there with that verse. You know, you look on our welcome card. We got the mountain there. And what does the mountains represent? We're a faith church. Praise God. And so thank God we can have what we say. That's a thing. That's a thing. And then verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. So he tells us this is known as the prayer of faith. When you pray, believe, you receive, and you shall have them. What's that telling you? You can have success in your prayer life. You can actually touch heaven, get heaven interested in you, and if you'll cooperate, your prayers will actually come to pass. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. And so we know Mark 11, 23 and 24, they're vital. They are, as far as one way Brother Hagin said, he said, no greater words of faith ever fell from the Master's lips. They are the most poignant and straightforward words on faith that Jesus ever spoke. But unfortunately, or I guess you say fortunately, however you want to look at it, it says in verse 25, the first word in the verse 25 is and. That means, yes, you can have what you say. Yes, you can have what you pray, but there's something connected to that. And when you stand praying. Now, what he's saying is when you stand praying, he's referring to the prior two verses. Well, when you stand confessing the word, you're confessing it. The Lord's hearing it, right? He's acting upon your faith. When you stand praying, Mark 11, 24, he says, in that place of speaking to the mountain, in that place of praying, there's something else that needs to be attached to verses 23 and 24. Something, we get excited about faith. Oh man, our faith can move mountains. Oh wow, our prayers, we actually are a word of faith church where our prayers work. But we can't leave out verse 25. Why? It says, and when you're in that place of confession, and when you're in that place of praying and believing, if you have aught, that word aught is just a fancy way of saying anything. If you have anything against any, what's it say before that? Forgive. When you stand confessing, when you stand praying and you need mountains moved, I mean, you need the money to come when the money's not there. You need the healing to show up when there's no healing in sight. You need situations to turn with family members, in your business, in your life, and it's not anywhere on the horizon. And you're using 23, and you're using Mark 11, 24, and that's what we're supposed to do. He says, but in that moment, you must check up on yourself. And if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Do you see that there? Yeah. So, we know that Mark 11, 23 and 24 are so vital, are so important. But Mark 11, 25 cannot be swept under the rug. So I want to help you with some things tonight, because what you're going to see here in the first point that I'm going to make is that Mark 11, 23 and Mark 11, 24 will not work for you if you don't have Mark 11, 25 in order. Now, you might be here tonight, and I hope you are. I hope the whole place is, and you might say, I just check out right now, Pastor Mike, because I don't have anything against anybody. Well, I hope that's true. But the Lord put something on my heart to share at the end of service. Don't tune me out. It's going to be a blessing to you. Amen? Say, that's just to get me to listen. Maybe. Or it might be true as well. Praise God. Maybe it's both. It's probably a little bit of both. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is true. He did give me that at the end. It's going to bless you. But, I do dangle that out there for you, because we don't want people to check out. We want people to be aware, you know. Jesus said, take heed. He was telling them right before, listen up. Something I'm about to say is important. Amen. What did he do? He dangled the carrot to get him to listen. Praise God. So the Bible tells us we need to forgive. And that means it's connected. Yeah, you can confess. Yeah, you can pray and believe. But you better have and in there as well. You better have that worked as well. So I want to look at some things tonight that will help us in the area of forgiveness. Are you ready to look at some things? Just have a few points here. Looking in the area of forgiveness. Let me first say this. This is the first point that I want to make for you. Walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. You can say it this way. Walking in unforgiveness will never help your life. I've heard it put this way, and it's so true. Walking in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and wanting the person that you're bitter or holding the grudge against to feel the effects of it. Well, that's not how poison works. Oh, I want to kill that person. Now you're going to be the one that's going to die. Walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life, and it will never help your life. Are you ready to see some of these things? I know that you are. Now, this is what you have to understand, and I'll show you this and prove this, but I want to make a point to you in this first point. Forgiveness is an act of love. Okay, it's an act of love. Well, go to 1 John 4 and verse 8. We'll just pull that up on the screen there. 1 John 4 and verse 8. Now look at what it says in 1 John 4 and verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth, or he that loveth not does not know God. Why? God is love. Oh my gosh, if you get that revelation, that would help you in your tithing. Because why don't people do it? Because they're afraid. How can I pay? So you're saying God would tell you something to hurt you? Never. He's love. God is love. Now flip over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Well, what does love do? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. If God is love, that means that whatever God does has to be a demonstration of love. Amen? God is love. Look at it, it says, God commendeth. What in the world does that word mean? It means to demonstrate. God demonstrates his love. So he's a God of love. Now he's going to demonstrate it. How does he demonstrate his love toward us? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what was the main thing that happened when Christ died for us? Because you can't get into heaven with sin. Eternal life was the greatest thing that came from the cross. Healing's good, and prosperity's good, but healing and prosperity, those are for the here and now. And this area passes away. If it was a choice between healing, prosperity, or eternal life, I'll take sickness all day, I'll take being broke all day, just let me go to heaven. But thank God we don't have to choose that. But my point is that the main thing that Christ did on the cross for us was the forgiveness of our sins, was it not? Yes, it was. When he was on the cross, Jesus took all your sin so that you could be forgiven. So why? You could be clean to go to be with a clean God. Amen. So what am I saying is the act, one of the acts of love that God showed us, there's many different acts of love, but one of them and one of the main ones is the act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of love. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Now remember in the offering, I said that David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible said that he panted for the commandments of God. What was he? I'm longing. It said, I longed for them. Just like, remember my little dog, Black Lab Willow? She comes in from a walk and she's just panting. What is she longing for? That bowl of water. Oh, I just need that bowl of water. David said, I need your commandments. Well, look what the word says here. And be kind one to another. Wow, that's a principle. Shocker. Tender-hearted. Notice this. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's not a suggestion. He says, forgive one another. Now, I told you that walking in unforgiveness now or ever is not helping you now, and it's never going to help your life. Say, well, what do you mean? Why isn't it going to help my life? You mentioned this thing about drinking poison. Now remember, what did we say forgiveness is an act of? An act of love. So when you choose to not forgive, which would be to be bitter, to hold grudges, right? You would be not walking in love, would you? If forgiveness is an act of love, unforgiveness would be an act of stepping out of love. Do you see that? Why is that bad? Go to Galatians 5 and verse 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. Oh, when you understand the poison that you're drinking in your bitterness, in your grudges. I'm going to help you with forgiveness tonight because it's not an easy thing in the flesh. I'm not here to say that it is. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. He's talking to the Galatians who are Jewish believers who they're all stuck on the Old Testament, you know, and being circumcised. And listen, because if you're circumcised in the Old Testament, what's that say? You're one of God's. That was the covenant with God, the outward symbol that you're one of God's. It was a requirement that the Jewish males got that. He said, that don't matter anymore. Whether you do or you don't, it doesn't matter. But what does matter is faith. Faith matters. Faith matters. Why does faith matter? Well, I don't know. The Bible says without it, you can't please God. It matters to him. It says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, without it, you can't overcome the world. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says without faith, you can't receive the promises of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says without faith, you can't quench the fiery darts of the enemy. What's my point? You need faith. Everybody say, I need faith. You do need faith. In Mark 11, 23 and Mark 11, 24 are the avenues by which you release your faith through the confession and through the praying and believing you received before. So, yes, we need faith. And then Jesus tells us in Mark 11, 23 and 24 what the avenues to release our faith and what it can do for us. What can it do for us? It can move mountains. Things that are in your way, things that are saying, sitting there staying with their fingers in their ears saying, nana, nana, boo-boo, I'm not moving for you. You can't get past me. It'll never change. It's always going to be that way. Your faith can change those things. I've had it happen many times. So the Bible says it's not about the circumcision anymore. Faith is what matters. But notice it didn't just say that faith matters. It says that faith has to be worked. Yeah, you know, a cell phone is nice, but if you don't have a battery, take the battery out of the cell phone. It doesn't do anything. The battery powers the cell phone, right? Your faith needs to be powered. Will you please pull that up in the Amplified, please? Look at this. Why is love important? Why is unforgiveness not acceptable? For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith. Now notice this. Faith has to be activated. Thinking about a cell phone has to be activated. You can't just go into the Verizon, buy a cell phone, and walk out and start calling people. No, they have to give you a number, put a SIM card in there, and activate that phone. Activated and energized. What's that? Energizer Bunny? You know him, that little guy. The Energizer Bunny, what's that? Battery, powered. What did we just talk about? Your cell phone has a battery. Without the battery powering it, it doesn't matter. Take the battery out of your cell phone or have your battery be at zero. Your cell phone's not going to work. It says that faith, what faith? The faith that's going to move the mountains, change your world, is activated and energized and expressed and works through love. What's it saying? Love activates and powers your faith. Take away love, you take away the activation and the power that's needed for your faith. Remember Paul? What he said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I have faith so I can remove mountains, if I have not love, I am nothing. Because he knew something. He's the writer of Galatians chapter 5 too. So you can pull that back up in the King James. So why is it important? Well, we established that forgiveness is an act of love. Unforgiveness is a step out of love. Why can't you afford to step out of love? Because when you step out of love, your faith goes, meow. Amen. You remember the story I tell? I tell the story all the time. I could tell a different one, but this is a good, I mean, this is just so clear to the point. Gentleman that I knew testified to me that he had dealt with shoulder problems for years. He had been to big name ministers. Some of the ones he told me, I know, they have tangible healing anointings, have had signs, wonders, and miracles. He knew the word on healing. He could tell you scripture after scripture on healing. He knew God was a healer. His faith wasn't the problem. Paul said, I can have faith to move mountains. This guy had the faith. He knew God was a healer. He knew he was Jehovah Rapha. He knew Jesus died on the cross. He had so much faith, he went to these meetings that ministers had endowments on, stood in line to get healed, walked out the same as he was for years and years and years. And finally, one day, he's driving in his vehicle, and his shoulder's really hurting. He slams his hands on the wheel, throws his hand up, and says, Lord, I don't understand. I believe that you're the healer. I believe that you are Jehovah Rapha. I believe that Christ not only died for my sins, but he died for my sickness, which he did. Lord, I've been to ministers who have anointings like you put in the word that you've given endowments and the gifts of the Spirit. And I've said them, and I've watched other people walk away healed and their healing manifest. But for years, I've struggled with this shoulder problem. What is the problem? And the Holy Ghost spoke up on the inside. See, he never bothered to ask. I love it. The disciples were smart. Remember when they couldn't cast the devil out of the young child and they went to Jesus, says, what's going on? They asked the question. If you're stuck in a rut and you don't know how, your finances aren't changing, it's going, I'm not talking about season of tests, I'm talking about a lifestyle, and a lifestyle of this, lifestyle of that. He's got your answer, but he doesn't just dole out answers. In fact, he said, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open, ask and you'll receive. You have not because you asked not. Yeah. And so he finally got wise, said, Lord, I don't understand, and went through all his credentials on his belief in healing. He was declaring, I have faith for healing, but it's not happening. And the Lord said, the reason you're not healed is because you haven't forgiven your father. Now, is that God saying, no, I'm keeping this healing way? No. God wants to give him his healing. All the promises of God are yes and amen. God's not withholding his healing. But God works through what? Our faith. For by grace were you saved through faith. By grace are you healed, but it comes through faith. By grace are you blessed, prosperity, but it comes through faith. But this guy's faith wasn't working. Why? He was walking in unforgiveness. Why? What's a step into unforgiveness is a step out of love. When you step out of love, the Bible says your faith doesn't work. Your faith is only working and activated and energized by love. You can't afford to walk in unforgiveness if you want your faith to work. Amen. Now, I know what thoughts are going out there because people have been wronged. People have been hurt. People have been done over the wrong way by people in life and have been mistreated and mishandled and things. And you, best way I can say is you've been legitimate. You are justified that you've been wronged before. So I understand what the thoughts are, and I'm going to get to that and help you here. But Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you can have what you say. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, you can have what you pray. But he said in verse 25, and you better be in forgiveness. Or verse 24 and verse 23 won't work. Why won't 23 work? Because 23 is the faith verse. 24 is a faith verse. If you don't have 25, you're walking out of love. If you don't have 25, your faith's not being powered. And 23 won't work and 24 won't work. Years, Lord, I believe in healing. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. So number one, when looking at forgiveness, is that walking in unforgiveness isn't helping your life and will never help your life. Now, let's get on, go back to Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25. Oh, I'm going to poke and prod even more now, okay? You know, my baseball coach used to poke and prod me because he knew I could take it. And he knew, I mean, I would come out of the game and I'd have the best stats on the team. I'd make the most plays at shortstop. And he'd come out of the game, and he would pull me aside and criticize me. What was he doing, poking and prodding me, trying to raise me up higher? Amen. I didn't get offended by it. I said, bring it on. I want to be the best I can be. But in Mark chapter 11 and verse 20, verse 25, look what it says here. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught. That word aught in the King James, just look at it in the newer translation, it means anything. So point number two is this. It's not an option whether or not to forgive, no matter what has been done to you. Because what happens in our little brains, and our little flesh tells us, because our flesh wants to be anti-Bible, well, this certainly can't mean this, and it'll give you a picture of what someone did to you, what somebody said to you, or how somebody treated you. And listen, this is not Pastor Mike standing up here saying, I'm not compassionate or have empathy for things that you've been through. I said in the beginning, I know people have been wronged. People have been mistreated. People have been mishandled. People have been abused and things like that. But Jesus, I remember one time dealing with a person and trying to help them with they refused to forgive. And it was such a wall in them that the devil got it and just completely messed up their mind. And they're saying to me on the phone, and they're saying, but this person did this. And so whatever this was in their mind was built up huge. And their mind was built up bigger than ought. Well, who said ought or any? Jesus said ought or any. And Jesus would have known and know to say that what every single person would ever go through or however they would be mistreated. There's nothing that he can say to forgive anything that somebody could say, he must not have meant this. Anything means anything. And this person had built that up in their head and they said, you're asking me to forgive for this. Again, they're magnifying the this. Remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? It says that cast down things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Well, this situation was exalting itself against the knowledge of God, which the knowledge of God was ought. Anything. If they receive the word, then that takes care of that problem there. And so you're asking me to forgive? And I said, no, I'm not asking you to forgive that thing. Jesus is. No, he's not. It's you on the phone with me. I said, I didn't write this verse. And I read it again to this person and read it again. And I went through this about 3-4 times. I said, you're not going to receive. The Bible's not, doesn't mean it. It's not your authority. I didn't say it. You can get mad at the preacher. But this is Jesus, the Son of God, who's the sweetest, the most loving, the kindest. And you know what he's telling you people out there who have been absolutely wronged, absolutely mistreated and abused, whatever? He's saying, no matter what you went through, the only response you have is forgiveness. That's what the Savior said. Why? He's saying, I'm not saying you're not justified. I'm not saying that your feelings, that you wouldn't feel that way. And I'm not having compassion on you. I'm trying to keep y'all in faith. I'm trying to keep your faith working, Jesus is saying. Well, you die from it. You're going to die. You are. He said, when you stand praying, forgive you of anything. So the second one is, it's not an option, no matter what you went through. Now, I guess I'll take it even further. I want some more poking. I can poke. And that includes things that even if the offender isn't aware, even if the offender isn't sorry, even if the offender never asks you or tells you they're sorry, doesn't matter. I heard Jeff out there amen to me. That's right, it is good. Praise God. I heard his little voice coming through the doors. Help me. He's saying, help me. Save me out here from being out here alone. Anything against anybody. He didn't say, only forgive those who have come to you with contrition and have said, I did this wrong. That's easy to forgive, that kind of stuff. Yeah. What about the person that says, I don't really give a rip? Or, I didn't do that to you. Or, so what? Because what's that do? That rubs us the wrong way. Ooh, it just pokes at our flesh. And then we think, well, sorry, I'm going to hold a grudge then. If you're going to be, I mean, you wronged me. No. The Savior said. The Master said. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords said. No matter what's been done to you, anything at all, under any circumstance, no matter how they react, your one response is forgiveness. Amen. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Then you don't want your faith to work. What do you want more? You want to be justified in your feelings? You like feeling that carnality? Okay, that's fine, but your mountain's going to stay there. Amen. Now remember, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is an act of love. Go to John 13:34. John 13:34. Praise God, praise God. Jesus said, a new suggestion I give you. A new idea, if it fits your life or not. If it works for you. No, a new commandment I give you, that you love. What's one of the aspects of love? Forgiveness. What's he saying? A new commandment I give you, forgive. Forgive. What's that mean? If you're forgiving something, that means you were wronged. Somebody did something to you. You know what Jesus said? I command you to forgive them. Ouch. Ouch. Our flesh and mind's taking a beating today, but your flesh and mind needs to take a beating. Let me say that again. Your flesh and mind need to take a beating. Do you know why people get into trouble and why people don't do things of God? Because they let their flesh and their mind run the show. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? He said, I buffet my body. The Amplified says to mean to buffet means, he didn't say I buffet my body. Like we're going to do those desserts in a few minutes. Woo-wee! I mean, this is fun. I feel like I'm being a bad kid tonight. No dinner, just right to the desserts. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. We teach you all the wrong things around here. But he didn't say I buffet my body. He said I buffet my body to strike it blow by blow. When my body wants to do something, I tell it no. When my body wants to act a certain way, my flesh wants to be carnal, I tell it no. That's what a spiritual person does. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. You forgive. You forgive. You forgive no matter what. Praise God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:13. It's not an option. It's from the Master's lips. It's not an option. Yeah, but this, so what? The ought trumps your this. That's not me belittling. I know people have been hurt. I've been hurt. People have been wrong. People have been slandered. People have been abused. I get it. It's still an ought. It's still an anything. And the response is forgiveness. Why? So you can keep your faith working. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so you also do. Wow. It's not an option. So number one, we saw that walking in unforgiveness isn't helping you. Why? It wrecks your love walk, which wrecks your faith. Number two, it's not an option because we think, well, that can't mean this. Well, it's an ought. It's an anything. That's what Jesus said. Don't be like the person on the phone that got mad at me saying, well, I just can't believe that you would tell me to forgive that. I'm sorry, person on the phone. I didn't tell you to forgive that. Jesus did. And if you won't accept his words, I'm sorry I can't help you. Amen. And I wasn't able to help that person. And that's just the truth. Hallelujah. So number one, not helping you. Number two, it's an option. Now remember, this will help you. Here we go. Number three, are you ready? Forgiveness is not a feeling. When I got this revelation, it set me free. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. It's a mindset to just do it, praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, rarely are you ever going to feel like forgiving somebody that wronged you. And what happens is a lot of times we don't feel it and we feel the exact opposite. And so we feel like, I must not be worthy to partake of forgiveness because I don't have that ooey gooey, mushy, easy feeling to do it. You don't have to have that ooey gooey, mushy, easy feeling to do it. You just have to do it. Forgiveness is just an act of love. How many of you know walking in love is not a feeling? Walking in love is not a feeling. Walking in love is a choice. The God kind of love that the Bible tells us that we have to walk in, the agape kind of love, is not feeling based. Jesus walked in the agape, the God kind of love. What's the God kind of love? Unconditional. What's conditional love? Well, if you do this, I'll love you. If you act this way, then I'll treat you right and be kind to you. That's conditional love. Unconditional love is, no matter what you say about me, no matter how you treat me, I'm going to walk in love towards you, and I'm going to forgive you if I need to. That's agape love. That's the kind of love that the Bible says we're to walk in. Now go with me to Luke 23:34. Luke 23:34, you're going to see agape love in action about not being a feeling. Luke 23:34. Now remember, the Bible says about Jesus that he was tested and tempted in every point as we are, but he never walked in sin. What's that mean? He was tempted to walk out of love. He was tempted. He got thoughts. He got feelings, but he didn't act on his thoughts. He didn't act on his feelings. He dealt with his thoughts and feelings, but he was tested the same way we are. Remember that, what it says over there in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that we have a high priest in Jesus who can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses because he was in all points tempted or tested as we are. And then it goes on to say, because of that, come under the throne of grace. He gets it. He understands. Jesus was tempted to lash out. Jesus was tempted to slander. Jesus was tempted to hold grudges and be bitter. Now, if there's any place in the world and in the Word that Jesus would be tempted to take wrong thoughts, to lash out, to be angry, to be bitter, it would be when he's got nails jammed in his hands, nails jammed in his feet, a crown of thorns jammed on his head, spit all over his body, whipped till he's like hamburger meat, and people standing at the foot of the cross, cursing at him, spitting at him, making fun of him while he's dying for the world. If there's any time for his flesh to be angry, to be bitter, to be mad, it's that time. And look what he does on the cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think he felt like that? No. He was flesh and blood. We know. He died. He bled. He slept. He ate. He got hungry. He got tired. He didn't, there was no ooey gooey feeling as the nails are in his hands and in his feet. And the crown of thorns, and he's beaten to a bloody pulp and spit on and slandered and cursed at and made fun of. There's no feeling in him that says, oh, I want to forgive. It feels so nice. No, why? Walking in love and forgiveness is not a feeling, it's choice. What was that? Love in action. That was love in action. Don't tell me, Pastor Mike, I can't do that. Because Pastor Mike's going to say, yes, you can. I didn't have a plan to go there, so I'm not even sure I know where the heck it is. Where is the verse that tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost? Oh, found it. Romans 5:5. Go to Romans 5:5. That's for crying out loud, Pastor Mike. That's Jesus. I know. Because if he can do that in his situation, what can you say that trumps what they did to him? And his response was that. Romans 5:5. And hope makes not ashamed because what was in action that day? Love. Well, unconditional agape love, choice, making a choice to walk into love. The love of God is shed abroad Not in a minor, abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know what's in you? The same love that was in Him. You just got to learn to tap into that love. Problem is, you've been tapping into this and tapping into this. This is not going to carry the love of God. This is going to carry the bitterness, the grudges, the lashing out, the payback, the revenge. But in here, there's no payback. In here, there's no revenge. In here, there's no slander. There's no bitterness, no grudge. What's in here? The love of God. What's the love of God do? The love of God will sit there on the cross with the very people that put Him there, who are making fun of Him and spitting on Him and hurting Him. And He says, Father, just forgive them. My goodness, this is powerful stuff. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. What am I trying to tell you? It's not about a feeling. Yeah, you feel angry. Yeah, you feel bitter. Yeah, you feel wronged and hurt. Yeah, you feel like you want to lash out. Nothing wrong with that feeling. The wrong part of it is when you act on it. Yeah, you think the things. Yeah. Thoughts will come, but you don't have to act on them. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Talking about forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Well, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? But I say to you, see, Jesus came and wrecked the whole plan for the flesh. Jesus is about to give the flesh a kick between the eyes. Because what does the flesh like to do? Love the neighbor and hate the enemy. That's easy for our flesh. The flesh says, darn right. The neighbors that are kind to me and people that are good to me, yeah, I'll be good back to them. But those ones that cross me, ooh, they shouldn't have crossed me. That's what your flesh says. But Jesus says, I'm going to kick that way of thinking over. And I'm here to tell you, I got a new way. It's called the love of God. He said, but I say unto you. Now see, if He doesn't matter to you, then it doesn't matter what He says unto you. But if you look at Him like I do, as the King of Kings, Master, there's certain things that just I don't have choice because the Master said it, praise God. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that not just would prefer not to be around you. Do good to the ones that absolutely hate your guts. You have anybody in your life that hate your guts? I have people in my life that hate my guts. He never said to talk behind their back. He never said to go out of my way to slander them. He never said to go out of my way to make it hard for them. No, He said to do good to them. That's what Jesus said. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Now here He told you to do something. Pray, bless, do good, and love the very people that would be the hardest to do that to. What am I trying to show you? It's not based on a feeling. You want to know why? You'll never feeling like loving your enemies. You'll never feel that way. You'll never feel like blessing them that curse you. You'll never feel like doing good to those that wrong you and praying for them that wrong you. You'll never feel that way. But He says, I don't care if you feel it or not. Who cares what you feel? He's saying, I don't give a flooty-tootie what your flesh says. Just do it. The word, just do it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. What will happen if you do that? Your faith will stay on board. Now, I want to tell you this. To walk this out and be that way, see, when Jesus was pushed upon, what poured out of Him? God poured out of Him. Why did God pour out of Jesus? Because Jesus was filled up on God. You know why carnality flows out of Christians? You know why they backbite and they slander and they talk behind people's backs and when they're cut off in traffic, they react fleshly? You know why? Because they're not filled with God. When you dip a sponge in grape Kool-Aid and pull it out and press on that sponge, white milk doesn't pour out of it. What pours out of it? That's what it's been soaking in. And so many Christians are soaking in the world and soaking in their flesh and soaking in their minds. And then when they're pressed upon, that's what comes out. That's why I told you, that's why people have struggled with addictions, doing the wrong thing. Oh, addictions are easy to overcome when you're filled with God. How do I know? Been through it. Couldn't overcome it on my own when I was filled with the world. You get me filled with God. The drug habit, bye-bye. The gambling addiction, bye-bye. I'm not talking about just a gamble once in a while or did drugs once in a while or drank once in a while. I'm talking full-blown addict, alcoholic, gambling addict. You're looking at them and they all went bye-bye when Pastor Mike got filled with God. Because then when those things started pushing on me, God came out of me. Amen. How can Jesus love the people that are pushed on him because he's filled with God? And when you push on him, God comes out. Only built up people can do this. Carnal people will never do this. They'll always be the ones backbiting, talking behind people's back, holding grudges, being bitter. Okay, that's fine, but watch your faith not work. I'll just keep going over the next mountain range, over the next mountain range, over the next mountain range, into my blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, because I'll choose to do the word. I'm just telling you how it's going to work for me. And it'll work the same way for you, praise God. Only built up people. How do you get built up with God? It's easy. Be in the word, be in prayer. Be in the word, be in prayer. Be in the word, be in prayer. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds up himself, charges up himself. Why was Paul able to write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always? Again, I say rejoice. Why was he in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were beaten, naked, stripped in prison? Why is he not complaining and arguing and grumbling, but he's singing praises to God and praying? Why? He's being pressed on and God's coming out of him. Why? Paul said, all I do is pray in tongues. What happens when you pray in tongues? Build yourself up. Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than y'all. What was he saying? I thank my God I'm built up more than y'all. I got so much God in me, it just oozes out of my pores. That's what's happened. That's true. There are certain family members at times that I'd take time just to pray in tongues and be in the word before I spent time with them. Why? I can't afford to lash out my flesh. I'm trying to win them to Jesus. Yeah. I remember I lashed out. Yeah, I'll tell that story. I was so full of carnality at Olive Garden. I was trying to go see a movie years ago, court. And the waiter, this is going to sound so bad, but you know how they have the show World's Dumbest Criminal? If they would have had a show World's Dumbest Waiter, he'd have been on it. For a waiter, I'm not saying he's dumb and loud, I'll just say for a waiter, worst waiter I've ever had in my entire existence. I mean, he was awful. And we had plenty of time to eat and go to the movie. But he's doing whatever he's doing, and I can't even explain to you, it'd take too much time. It was the worst experience I've ever had dining out. And he came over, and I was kind of acting, you know, just not too thrilled, acting fleshly, and he said, is there something wrong? And I was like, are you that blind that you don't know, like, what you're doing? How are you that unaware? And I said, yeah, there is. You are the worst waiter that I've ever had and could ever have. And I just let him have it. And I'm a born-again Christian. In fact, I think I was even pastoring in South Dayton. Telling on myself. Yeah. And the bill came. And I didn't give him a tip. And I left. And my heart was small. I said, you know, I thought, if I ever see him, he needs Jesus just as much as anybody if he's not saved. I said, what if I'll never be able to witness to someone like that? The way I treated him. I can't afford to go to a family member's house or a friend's house or out in the grocery store or somebody cuts me off in traffic and you flip them the bird, you swear. I can't afford that. Why? They need Jesus. And I might be the only Jesus in their life someday and they sure ain't going to receive from me. And so I left there and I called Olive Garden. And I asked about, described the waiter, and I got him on the phone. I said, I was the one that was just there and I want to tell you, I am so sorry for the way I treated you. And I said, I am going to call in a tip for you right now. And I did. And I tipped him so far and above. He didn't deserve a tip. But we didn't deserve forgiveness either. And Jesus was dying on the cross for it. See, I care about people's lives. Holding a grudge. Did he have a right to get, did he deserve it? Oh, if you were there, he deserved it. Did he deserve a tip? No, if you were there, he did not deserve a tip. Do you deserve your forgiveness? You sure don't. But thank God it ain't about what we deserve. God treats us better than we deserve. Hallelujah. He does. And I called and I gave a tip and he was so blown away by it. Because he recognized towards the end because I made sure to point out every single thing he did wrong. And he recognized at the end and he was so blown away that I would do that in the tip that I gave him. And I went above and beyond sacrifice. If I ever, you say, well, you probably won't be. Yeah, but if I am, I'm not going to stand before Jesus and be the reason he didn't go to heaven. And I went, and if I ever run into him again or see him again, he's going to know, my goodness, that was the guy that was good to me. That actually asked me to forgive him for things that I did wrong. Because most people don't repent anymore. Most people can't admit they're wrong. It's true. And it blows people away when you admit they're wrong. And so my testimony with him is good. I can't afford to go to a family member's house as a born-again Christian, not just a pastor, born-again Christian, and I got exactly what they need. I can't afford to lash out. I used to lash out before. It didn't do me any favors. Still people from my past that won't receive anything from me because they know the old Mike. I can't afford to do that anymore. So what do? I stay built up when I know I'm going into enemy behind enemy lines, you know? Friends, coworkers, be work, family members at times. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to be sweet to them. But I can't do that because I'm some spiritual person unless I fill myself with God. You won't be able to walk in forgiveness. Some of the things that people have done to you, some of the things that have been wrong to you, you can't do that on your own in the natural. But if you'll get filled with God, it'll flow out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you ask for forgiveness, give me just a couple, few more minutes here. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that the thoughts aren't going to come. You're still going to get thoughts against them. But what do you do with it? You deal with thoughts. You say, no. I don't take that thought against that person. I forgave them. And let me help you with this, too. This will help you. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to trust. Forgiveness doesn't mean you just let down your guard, open the door back up, and it's kind of like this. If somebody for the church had a church credit card, and they went out and they went on a spending spree personal, you know, eventually that stuff's going to show up, all the stuff, paper trail. And I approach them, what in the world? And they say, oh, Pastor, I just have a problem, you know, and I saw the limit on the card, and I'm so sorry I did this. Okay, my job is what? I have to forgive for anything. But I would be a moron if I said, here's your card back. Here's your church card back. Just go do whatever. I don't have to trust. You don't have to be a doormat and let... That's called wisdom. Amen? Forgiveness doesn't even mean I have to be your best buddy. Forgiveness means I don't take wrong thoughts about you. Forgiveness means I don't go out of my way to harm you. Forgiveness means I don't sit around and think in my head all the fun ways it would be to throw a dart at you. You know, that's what it means in dealing with those thoughts that come. Amen. Doesn't mean you open the door and trust and let people back in. Sometimes people have done that and they've been dummies for doing so. I'd be a dummy. Oh, here's your church card back. You asked for forgiveness. Pastor, you're a dummy. Amen. Now, last but not least, what did Pastor Mike say at the beginning of the service? He dangled the carrot. Because some of you might sit there and think, as far as I know. Now, I'm telling you right now, as far as I know in my own mind. Now, I don't judge my own self. The Lord reveals it to me later, I'll deal with it. But as far as I know, I don't have a grudge against anybody. As far as I know. I've dealt with them. Dealt with the grudges, right? Dealt with the bitterness. Now, if the Lord says, well, I don't know, you've been taking wrong thoughts here, then I'll deal with it. But as far as I know, I'm telling you, I don't know. But go to Mark 11, verse 25. Here we go. Let's end it with the carrot. We're going to chew on the carrot now. We're going to get the carrot before the cake. Because then we can say we are good boys and girls. We got our carrots, praise God. Do you all sometimes think this guy is so weird? Just my mind works so different sometimes. It's so entertaining to myself. I don't think maybe it is so much for you, but Mark 11, 25. When you stand praying. Now remember, this verse in action will keep verse 24 working and 23 working. Which what? Speak to the mountain, receive your prayers answered. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught or anything. Now look at what the next two words say. Against any. You have to forgive anybody for anything they've done, right? Let me ask you the million-dollar question. Are you an any? You're an any. See, my problem, honestly, has never been forgiving other people. I'm not magnifying myself. It's an area that I've not struggled in. With forgiving other people. The area that Pastor Mike has struggled in doing the word is forgiving himself. But the Bible says for my faith to work, I have to forgive anybody. You're an anybody. This is not just talking about the family member or the coworker or the person in traffic or the person at the store or the friend that you have a grudge against. You can't hold a grudge and be bitter and come down and condemn your own self if you want your faith to work. Ooh, I know. That's a hard one, but you need to let yourself off the hook. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and verse 1 says. This should be freeing to people. It's perfect that I would tell this story after I just mentioned how crazy y'all think I am. Because remember the story of Pastor Mike in his tree stand. Y'all remember that day and that story because I've told that a lot of times. And I'm sitting there thinking, you are an idiot. How could you do that? What is wrong with you? How could you this? How could you that? And I'm just hammering myself, bitter against myself, coming down hard against myself. You've all been there, right? How could I, you moron, you dummy, you know better in this situation, and what's wrong with you, and you know the word. And the Holy Ghost spoke up on the inside of me as clear as day and said, is that how you'd counsel one of your sheep that messed up? Now you know, for those that have sat across from me, some of you have sat across from me, and just being a pastor happens, and you've been in a vulnerable position. What's that mean? You've screwed up. Right? We're human. We haven't done everything right. I mean, I've sat across from my pastor in a vulnerable position of, this is my life. I screwed up. And when people do that to me, not one of you in here would say that when you've told me you messed up and you screwed up, that I've sat across from you and said, you're an idiot. How dare you? What's wrong with you? How could you do that? Never done that. What have I told you? Exactly what the word said. Okay, let's fix that. There's help for you. There's forgiveness for you. There's better for you. God wants to forgive it and wants you to move on, right? That's how I counsel people. Why do I do that? Because that's what Jesus does. That's what the word says to do. So he said, was that how you'd counsel one of your sheep if they messed up? I said, no. The Holy Ghost went further and said, counsel yourself like you would a sheep. I said, okay, I'll do what you said, Lord. So you know what I did? I said, come on in. Well, hello, Pastor Mike. I said, hello, Mike. Out loud, I'm doing this in a deer stand. True story. Hello, Pastor Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you? Well, not doing so good. Oh, what's going on, brother? Well, Pastor, and I'm just having this conversation with myself. I did this, this, and this, and this is the way I've been, and I just feel like now it's over for me, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. And before, where I would not counsel myself as Pastor Mike, I would say, that's right, you idiot. You deal with that now. Suffer. You wallow in that. You should know better by now. What's wrong with you? But no, I put the pastor on, which is putting the word on. And I said, hey, Mike, it's not over for you yet. You know the Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. You know what the Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward on the things that are before. He that's in Christ is a new creation. The Bible says that the Lord will forget as far as the east is from the west, he forgets your transgressions. He said, I am he that blots out your sins. I won't remember them anymore. I said, the answer to your problem is just ask the Lord to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. And I counsel myself. And you know what happened to me? Grace and life started coming unto me. And you know what I did to myself in that tree stand? I forgave myself. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, Father, I ask you to forgive me for that, and I receive my forgiveness now. And I walked into that. And then the thought would come back to me. I'd say, no, I've already been forgiven of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll say this because I heard Pastor Nancy say it. It just came out of my heart. To hold something against somebody that they've been forgiven for, God doesn't hold things against people that they've been forgiven for. You know what he does with things that they've done that they ask forgiveness for? They forget it. He forgets it. For you to throw it back in their face is for you to say, God didn't do enough for you. I want you to have to live with this. That's wrong. It's wrong. And for you to do it to yourself and to not deal with that and say, no, I've been forgiven for that. It's wrong. The highest in the land, the most wisdom in the land said, your sin repented for is worthy of forgetting. It's not worthy of holding you against you and beating you up and telling you how bad you are. And if that's what's happening, you're listening to the voice of the devil. And you'll never have faith like that. Your faith will not work. Your problems are just a cleansing of the blood away from being gone. Lord, forgive me. He says, I will do it, praise God. I'll do it. I'll forgive you. Let's close with 1 John 1:9. Let's look at that verse, just to look at it. Because I know this is freeing to some people. Because we beat ourselves up. I know I'm a professional at it. If we confess our sins, what's that mean? Our misses. Our struggles, our moronic actions, our stupidity. He says he is condemning and angry and makes you feel stupid. No, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, because another thought of the devil is, yeah, but what I did is unforgivable. No, it's not. I'm dealing with a gentleman right now, had some things in his past. Things in his past to do with wartime back in the years ago. Oh, I said, oh, no, no, you don't understand. It's just an all. It's just an all. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. He's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from everything you've done wrong. So when you sit there and hold yourself after you've asked for forgiveness or hold somebody else, you are wrong and going against God. I don't want to go against God. I want to jump in the flow with God. And if he says, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. And when my thoughts tell me, yeah, but what about this? I don't know what you're talking about. God forgave me. I'm off the hook. When somebody gets pardoned for something they did wrong and get let off the hook, do they run back to the judge and say, no, put me back in jail. I want to suffer in jail. No, and run for the hills. Get away from there. Jesus pardons us with forgiveness. Amen? Were you helped tonight? Amen. After we pray, we're going to take up communion. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. Lord, your word will set us free. The entrance of your word gives light. We need to hear this, Father. We can't afford to be in grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness towards anybody, not even ourselves. It'll wreck our faith. So, Father, we thank you tonight for revelation, for impartation. We thank you. We're going to walk this out. And Lord, we're just so thankful and so grateful for the forgiveness of Jesus. So grateful and so thankful for the forgiveness of Jesus. No matter what we've done in here. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. As I look around the room tonight, I know that everybody in here is born again. I know that. But first of all, let me address this. If you're listening online and you can say to yourself, ask yourself the question, would I go to heaven today were my last day on planet Earth? If the answer is I don't know or I'm not sure, I hope so, I want to make sure that you know you can be sure to go to heaven. And the way to be sure to go to heaven is just do what God says, follow the directions that get there. And the way that you do that is, number one, you must believe in Jesus. So if you're listening online or in the future on the archive, and you can say, I do believe in Jesus. I believe he's real. I don't understand everything, but in my heart, I believe. That's the first qualification. The second qualification is you must receive Jesus. Ask him into your heart. It's not about church attendance. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad. It's not about your morality. It's not about your generosity or lack thereof. It's all about what you do with Jesus. So if you're listening and say, I do believe in Jesus. I'm not sure I go to heaven, but I do believe in him. The last thing you need to do is just ask him in your heart. And the way you do is cry out to him in a prayer. A prayer that would sound like this. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you were real and I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to save me from my sins, and I thank you for eternal life. If you'll do that, he'll save you. He'll come into your heart. God will become a father to you, and there should be an email on the website. There should be a phone number. Get a hold of me and let me know you received Jesus for the first time. I want to get a hold of you and let you know about some things that will help you going forward. God has so much for you for the rest of your life. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I know we're all saved in here. But we might need to ask the Lord to forgive us, whether maybe it's forgive us for holding grudges or being bitter, or ask the Lord to forgive us for being hard on ourselves. And maybe you just need to ask for forgiveness for things you've done wrong, and today you leave it here. This is it right here. This is the end. You don't beat yourself up anymore about it. You just endeavor to go a new way. I love what Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery. He didn't kick her and tell her how horrible it was. He just said, just don't do it anymore. You're forgiven. Just don't do it anymore. I love it. I love it. That's what he's doing to you today. He's saying, just ask me to forgive you. I will. And then just go forward new. You're brand new. I'm not holding you to the fire anymore. So right now in your own place, ask the Lord to forgive you if you need forgiveness. If you need forgiveness for grudges or wrongdoing, just ask him. Just don't, not in your head. Just nobody needs to be listening to everybody else. Just whisper in a quiet voice, Lord, forgive me for that. You don't even need to exactly say what it is if you're thinking that so you don't, you know, portray it to everybody, but Lord, forgive me for that thing. Forgive me for that issue. Forgive me for that. I receive your forgiveness now. Yes. I thank you for my freedom. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just thank him for your forgiveness. Remember, it doesn't matter if you feel it. It doesn't matter if you think it. It doesn't matter. The word is your help. He told you, I'll forgive you for everything. Just accept it tonight and go forward different. He's bigger than your misses. He's bigger than your failures. Father, we love you. Let's praise him tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Brothers, you can go forward. I had to come forward and let's serve communion this evening. Now, this is a time of reverence, a time of respect. So we ask that you not be conversing, but accept with the Father. Thank you, sir. And just be in an attitude of worship tonight. This is a time of remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. Brandy, go ahead and put there's something about that name on, if you would, please. And this is about Jesus here. This is what this song is. And let's just worship him and thank him for what he's done. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we bless you. This in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread and let's break it and let's go ahead and eat it. Father, I thank you so much for what the bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for me. By his stripes in his body, I can be healed. Thank you for Jesus' body being broken. We honor and reverence that tonight. In verse 25, it says, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Go ahead and just drink the juice. Now, Lord, I thank you that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed to cleanse us. And it not only cleansed us at the new birth, 1 John 1 and verse 9 was written to Christians who have missed it and failed. It's still cleansing us today. It just cleansed us 5 minutes ago. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that has cleansing power. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I know there's some things, you know, we have around the house that have cleansing power, that our step up from detergent and take stains out. Oh, the blood of Jesus has the greatest cleansing power there is. We thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and just thank the Master tonight. Thank Him. When service is dismissed, we'll ask you to pass your cups towards the center, but let's just worship Him and praise Him. Father, we thank You and bless You and glorify You. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your mercy. Where would we be without Your mercy? We'd have to wallow around in guilt and shame in our wrong actions. But no, You've forgiven us. We're white as snow tonight. We're walking out of here as if we never missed it. Praise God. A fresh start for us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for it this evening. And Lord, we ask that You bless the fellowship time. Thank You to all the people that brought food and desserts tonight that maybe bought or made some. Lord, bless those people for doing that, Father. We give You the praise and we give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 second, before you dismiss, all the kids that you want to come up and get a prize, come on up and make a line right here and pass your cups towards the center and head on down to the fellowship hall. All set. You are dismissed.
We just go to the bridge. Come on, just say, put Him under.
Put Him under Your feet.
Come on, let's do it.
Put Him under.
The Bible says He's under. Come on.
Put Him under Your feet. Put Him under.
Chance to put Him under. Come on, say it with me.
Say, put Him under Your feet.
Come on, do it.
Put Him under Your feet.
Are you getting a witness out there? Come on.
Put Him under Your feet. Put Him
keep it right there. Keep it right there. Put Him under.